Hi, I'm Katie and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode number 15, and this week I'm talking to Kelly, who is the Woodside Stories on Instagram. We talk about the journey from school at home to something more unique to your family, and how as a home ed parent you need to give yourself grace and time to find out what works. We chat about the importance of finding mentors for your home and family in the wider community around you, and the value of exploring community spaces when everyone else is at school. And we talk about what life is like home educating in rural and more isolated areas of the country. And now, on with the episode. This week, I'm talking to Kelly from the Woodside Stories. Hello, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, first question, tell me a bit about your family.
Okay, well, we're a family of six and we live off-grid in the northeast of Scotland. We've been home educating since my daughter was 7 years old. At that point, we lived in England, and I have four children who are 18, 16, nearly 15, and just turned 11 yesterday. My oldest child, she's the one who went to school. The other two, the two boys who are 16 and nearly 15, they tried school, but for a very short period of time, and my 11-year-old has never been to school. So that's us in a nutshell.
So with your eldest, so she home educated as well, yes?
Yes, right. Yep. She's just about to start college this year. She's actually already been to college once before. She's in Scotland, they do National Fives, which are kind of GCSE level. And she did those when she was 15. She went for a year and did applied science. So because she wanted to have some kind of formal qualification, because she's quite into environmental issues, and she thought that was a career. But it's still what she wants to do. It's still a career she wants to pursue. So she decided to go and do that.
So when did you start home educating?
She was 7 years old, so she did the 2 years. At that point, we actually lived down in England in Wiltshire, and she did the 2 years of infant school. She did 2 years of infant school, so she went in at five, and then the place we lived in had two very separate schools. So there was a very lovely, very hands-on infant school, and then when they turned seven, they joined the junior school, which was a very strict, very different approach. And she started there in September, and by the October holiday, she knew she didn't want to be there anymore. So and I'd met people who home educated and a family who said, oh, you should really meet these other home ed people. And I didn't even know it was a thing. Never heard of home ed in my life ever. And then I met these people and they had teenagers, and I thought, they're really nice. I would really like my kids to be like that when they're older. So that was when we decided to take her out of school. The boys stayed in. They stayed in till just after one came out October holidays just after, and then by Christmas they were all out.
Wow.
So yes. And it was a challenge for me because I have a mother who worked in primary education, and my stepdad was the chairman of the governors. So we were very much a school family.
Yeah.
And no one had gone down this path at all. And my family did freak out. They thought my children would be, I don't know what they thought they'd turn into, but within sort of the first year, they realized that actually they were still the same children. And now they're very, very supportive, and they're very pro-home-ed as well. So it's been really nice to have that flip-flop of opinions, really.
Yes, yes. It's nice when people come around eventually, kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And it was a big scary thing because I didn't know anyone else apart from I had one friend whose children had been home educated. I didn't have a base of people to turn to, and I know myself I probably would have been a bit judgy at some points and thought, oh, what's that, why would you do that? And now here I am 11 years in.
Yes, yeah. How because obviously, like, I mean, we home educated from the off. And although there wasn't like a complete agreement, you know, like, I don't know, when my eldest was three or something, that yes, this was something we were definitely going to do, I still had quite a long time to read about stuff and ponder things and whatever. How was it to not really know this thing existed and then to be home-edding four kids?
Well, I really took my daughter out and I decided to do school at home. I am probably the textbook of how not to home ed, to be honest with you, because I replicated the school day, and the poor child was completing work like at a rate that was crazy. And within 2 weeks, I thought, oh, we've actually got nothing left to do this term. So why don't we go and do something fun? And there was a lady very close to us who did a felting workshop, and she did all different kinds of skills that I knew my daughter would enjoy. So we dropped the boys to school. My husband had our youngest because he was obviously a baby at this point.
Yeah.
And then we went along and we had such a lovely time. And all the way through, I thought, my boys would really love this. And I felt horrible because I knew they were at school. So then I came back and said to my husband, I really think we should take them all out. And I was really sneaky. I made him do the school drop off for a whole week. And at the end of the week, he was like, yeah, take them out. Can't do this. It's too hard. You know, yeah. Seeing their little faces, they were in my sort of, he's now 15 or nearly 15.
Yeah.
But he was in reception and he would say, you are just going to wait outside the gate for me today, aren't you, all day while I'm here? And it was just like, oh, no, I can't do it. So it was an easy decision in that way. Once we decided, but it was really scary to take them out because I had never even considered it as an option. So I read everything. At that point, it was blogs. There was lots of people with blogs. There was the, I don't know if it's still going, Muddle Puddle, which was a lady who had four home-educated daughters. And I read her blog. And there was an amazing blog. And honestly, I think this woman got me through. It was called Grit Stay. And she had triplets. And I thought, anyone who can home-ed triplets, that's the person for me. And she was fantastic. She was very realistic, talked about an awful lot of the pitfalls and the mistakes she'd made, which made me feel a lot better because, you know, blogs, a lot of people present their best selves as they
definitely
do on social media. And I thought, I don't know if I can do that. That's you know, the level, the bar is really high. But then she had a very realistic blog that was really funny as well. And I thought, no, if she can do this with triplets, we can do this. And that's how we found our way, really.
Yeah, I think the replicating school at home is actually a really common start, because if you've been schooled yourself, like, that's what education is.
Yeah.
Which is the desk. Sure. And if the desk is the kitchen table, then you feel like, oh, we're being a bit more homey. Like, well, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but just that, like, I think the de-schooling of parents, it takes so much longer than the de-schooling of kids.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My kids have got the hang of it pretty much, you know, within the couple of weeks of being out. They were trying to find their rhythm, and it was me that was digging my heels and saying, no, I've got to do times tables. No, you have to do a worksheet. I'm going to be failing everything. But as it turned out, as time went on, I realized actually sitting around the table doing worksheets was really boring, and there was much nicer and much more fun ways to learn things. And so that's how we progressed. And now we are the complete opposite of that.
I think that just takes time.
And it's really interesting because I have one of my children, he's left-handed, and when he was learning to write, he was doing mirror writing, starting at the wrong side of the page, and everything was backwards. And I thought, well, this, I'm out of my depth here. And luckily I did have a friend of a friend who was a great support person who helped me through that. But then we went to do an iron casting where they were making little iron tiles. And the lady running it said, you could come and work here anytime, because trying to find someone who can write backwards and write well backwards is really hard.
Of course.
I thought, he has a job. That was like a turning point. And I thought, well, there's something for everyone. I really need to chill out and not make this such a big deal. So, yeah, there's lots of little signs along the way that, if you listen to them, you realize that actually trying to replicate school at home is not the way for most people. It does work for some people. I would never say for everyone, but for us, listening to other people's opinions and their advice, and just trying, being brave enough to try, that was the biggest thing, and finding out actually it wasn't so scary.
I think it's realizing that you have the time to try different things and to do different stuff, and that they're just absorbing good stuff anyways. You know what I mean? So you don't have to, there isn't a getting it right, because because it's always shifting and changing, because they're always shifting and changing.
Yeah, we have one of the things that we decided to do was we bought a year's membership to the local farm. We lived in England at this point in a town, and there was a lovely children's farm that had, beautiful mazes and piglets, and they had a nature table. And my kids, we were there when obviously the only other people there were preschoolers, so we had the place to ourselves. And the staff got to know the children, and it kind of took an interesting turn because initially they were like, why aren't they in school? And I explained. And in the early days, I don't know if this is for everyone, but I felt if anyone asked me why my kids weren't in school, instead of just saying they were home educated, they got like a 10-minute speech of why they weren't in school. And they had to just get to the end of it. And, now I just, say, oh, they don't go to school. But at that time, it was early days. And these people, they became actually really good friends. And it got to the point that I would be nervous about going. Because when we got there, they'd say, we found something amazing. It started with some owl pellets that they saved us.
Oh,
And then
really?
it was dead frog for us to dissect. And it just, I got to the point, oh, what are they going to give us this week? What am I going to, what dead animal am I going to take home for biology lessons? But they were really supportive. And we wouldn't have had that experience. If they'd have been in school, we'd have gone when it was very busy. We wouldn't have got to know the staff by name. And it really fostered quite a love of the natural world of my kids through other people, through other mentors. So there was lots of people like this that came in and helped us, I feel. We were really lucky that we found really good people to support the kids in their learning journey.
Yeah, and I think as you say, when you get to go to stuff when it's quieter, just people have more
Yes.
time. And when you've got
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
and you've got kids that are interested in this stuff, and it's just like, oh, then we're not in a big mad scramble. Right, what do you want to know? How can we
Yeah,
help? But it makes a big difference.
and you can go to your local museum every week and just really absorb one thing in that museum visit. Whereas if you're going once, and it's maybe that once a year you're going to fit in, you just rush around and try and cram in as much as you can rather than taking your time and thinking it's okay, we can come back tomorrow if we really want to and do this then. So that way it's great. So yeah,
I
lots of
guess.
opportunities.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's the opportunities, really. Because you don't know necessarily, as you say, like the stories you've given already, like there are opportunities you didn't know were out there.
No,
At a
not
different
at all.
time, they might not be out there. In the summer holidays, they might not be out there or whatever.
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah, because especially at the farm we used to go to in the summer holidays, that it was jam-packed. And the staff would have, instead of there being just my children at like the lamb feeding time, you would have a huge number of children, which is, that's great. And they're a business, and that's what they need footfall. They need people to go.
Totally.
So they can keep running. But for my kids, they were really fortunate that we would turn up and be the only people there at feeding time. Or one time we turned up and it just so happened that one of the pigs was giving birth and the kids were invited to go around and watch. It was, so
Oh.
they learned a lot from this place. And I think it's how one of the reasons we ended up living how we live now. So
Yeah, that makes sense.
yes, it was another seed that was sown a decade ago. So yes. But
Do you want to tell us that story? I mean, is there a story there to tell?
oh, there is a story. So I think this happens to a lot of people. When you home educate, you start down at what people would call an alternative path, and then you start to question other things. So you've always accepted school is the norm, and then you think, well, if school's not the norm and home education, what else is not? What else are we doing that we just have done all the time? Because that's what people do. And we've moved around a few times because of my husband's job. So we've lived in, my children were born in Scotland, then we moved to England, then to Wales, and then back up to Scotland about 6 years ago. And in one of those moves, when we went to Wales, we were in the Carmarthenshire area, and there was a lot of lovely, lovely home educators who lived very alternative lives. And I thought, I would never live like that. I can't imagine what that would be like, living off the land and, having just, building your own home. And they were really great people, and I loved going to see them. But I thought, oh, that's nice, but seeing them is, that's my limit. And then we moved back up to Scotland, and we bought a beautiful house. And within 6 months, we thought, actually, this is nice, but it's not fulfilling in a way that maybe having experience living in Wales with really lovely neighbours in a very rural setting, it didn't feel, we'd moved to a town, it didn't have the same feel. And then we met a home ed family who lived up here who had been living off grid on a small holding. And we went to stay with them for a couple of days. And in that time, my husband, who's an engineer, said, I want to do this. I want to build a house and I want to power it with solar panels and wind turbines. And so we got really excited and we put our house on the market and we tried to find somewhere to live. And the kids came up and we looked at lots of plots of land and we were always bitterly disappointed. It took over a year. Every time we put an offer in, someone else had a better offer.
Yeah.
And then we got so bored of traveling further north because we were living in Scotland, but we were further down, nearer to sort of Dundee. And then we moved, we came up here and we hadn't seen this plot where we ended up except on the internet. And we thought, you know what, I'm so fed up of traveling, put an offer in, see what happens. And to our absolute shock, the farmer said, yeah, you can, that's fine. So we hadn't even seen it. We panicked and threw the kids in the car and came up to here. And it was really quite a scary, you know, I mean, it was like a cold journey all the way up. It was a good 3-hour journey from where we lived. And the whole way up, please let this be nice. Please not let it be awful or, you know, inaccessible or something. And we were really, because it was lovely. And it was just a bare plot of, it's 15 acres and it had outline planning. And that was it. Nothing else on it. No electricity. No, nothing. And so, so we got a little caravan and a couple of tents and spent the summer. It was the wettest August, I think, on record, which was quite miserable at times.
Of course.
Yes, it would be. And
we
got stuck in, but we were very lucky that our valley is a lovely community. They're a great bunch of people. And within 2 days of us being here, the neighbours had made themselves known and we had places to go and people to rely on. And our friends who home educate, who also lived off grid, they were about a 20, 25 minute journey.
Yeah.
So we could go and see them. And it's been great. It's not been great all the time. There are lots of times when you think, why am I doing this? But it's been great for my kids they've learned a lot. My 16-year-old, he can strip a generator down, repair it and put it back together again, which he'd never have done if we'd lived in a normal
house.
But you know, necessity when you want to, because I would never want anyone to think my kids are like earth children. My 16-year-old loves his laptop and if he can't power it, he will find a way to power it. And so, you know, the necessity was the generator's not working, your father isn't here, he was away for work, and so he said, right, well, I'm gonna do it. And it's seen his dad do this enough that he knew he was confident, and so he did it. So
brilliant.
So that's a skill set that they have that they wouldn't have had if we had not moved up here and decided. We did discuss it with the kids. They'd come to see our friends. They knew what they were letting themselves in for. And we did give them many opportunities to say, you know, we do on a regular basis check in with them and say, how are you feeling? Are you fed up of this yet? Would you like to go back to but you know, we go on holiday and we've stayed in like self-catering, and within a few days they're like, this is so weird, like you just plug things in and it's strange. So they kind of they've got used to it now, and I think that the skills they've had from living like this hopefully will set them up so that they'll be good problem solvers. That's one of my aims for them, is as adults to not get to a problem and just think, oh well, that's that, to try and think, find a way around it. So they're encouraged to do that quite a lot.
Yeah, totally. And you have livestock as well, is that right?
We do. We have sheep and we have horses and a lot of poultry and rabbits, and we have a big vegetable garden. And this is the first year we've been up here. This is our fifth year that we've always grown a small amount of vegetables, but this year we're aiming to grow enough that we should be more or less sufficient throughout the winter months, because we've also built a cold store so we can put everything in, and hopefully that it's more of an experiment. I mean, we're living in times when we're really lucky that we can do that it isn't a life or death, or we're not going to have to live off of porridge oats for 6 months if it all goes horribly wrong.
Yeah, totally.
But just try it out and see how that works out. So yes, and my children are very much involved with the livestock. Everybody hates it when it's sheep time, when we have to round up the sheep to shear them or to get them in for check their feet, because we don't have a collie dog or any kind of sheepdog. I just have four really fit children that run around a lot. they're not, you know, they love the animals, and they're actually really into one of my sons, he takes on the responsibility of the poultry, the day-to-day. That's his thing. My daughter, she's the one with the horses, and the sheep are mine, and they're not really big fans of the sheep because they are really hard to herd. They're not keen on being caught and being inspected. So
how many sheep have you got?
So they're fairly young. We have nine now. We had lambs. We chose not to lamb, but we have done lambing before. So my children are very, very well versed on where babies come from.
Yeah, when you have livestock, you can't really. That's just how it is, really.
Very much so, especially I think the chickens and the ducks were. Even I was a bit taken aback by how they don't care. They don't care what you're doing. You could be outside having your supper, sitting at the table, and if the mood takes them, then that's it, and you know, it becomes part of normal life, really.
that's your evening entertainment set up, really.
And it's really funny. I have some family who live up here. My sister, her partner's in the military, and their base is quite close by, and her children come over, and it's quite amusing because they don't quite know what to make of it. It's just that's part of living here. But they're all like, oh, what's going on? Oh, should that be happening? And like, well, yes, that's nature. So
yes, I haven't seen chickens. I've seen ducks recently when we were at the park, and it's quite violent.
It's very violent.
It's gonna, like, shove you under the water, and it's like, oh, this isn't very nice.
No, it's not there's no romance, put it that way. It's very very it's very very the natural world, I'd say.
Yes, exactly. So what do you love about home education?
I love the freedom that it's given my children to not feel like they have to be something to fit someone else's mold. I'm quite keen on them understanding what constitutes as good manners. I feel that's really important, but I also want them to have boundaries and be confident in their own skins enough to not feel like they have to do something just to make someone else happy that they don't feel comfortable with. And I've noticed they don't seem to have the mentality of, I have to go along with this because it's what everybody else wants to do. They're quite independent thinkers, which can be really hard when you're trying to coerce them into something. It's a blessing and a curse because you know, when you're trying to say, my eldest son, he's 16, and I wanted him to come to a museum trip, and he said, no, I don't want to go. It looks rubbish. It looks really boring. And I said, please come. And I always do a deal with him that, look, if you really hate it in the first hour, we'll go. But I'm pretty good at guessing what you'll enjoy. So if you just come with me on the faith that you might enjoy it. And, you know, and he always gets in the car after and says, oh, it was great. I'm really glad I came. But, you know, you have to kind of persuade him. You know, that's just part of his personality. But I like that he can be like that, because I think in a school setting, he would have suffered quite a lot, because, you know, he wouldn't have enjoyed being forced or shoehorned to be something that he's not. And I think we all value, as a family, we really value our freedom. We can live our lives timetabled by the weather almost. If it's a great day, we can just all pile into a vehicle and go down to the beach and enjoy the day there, rather than being in classrooms or in workspaces. Because my husband's also self-employed, so he can tailor his work around the weather as well, which is great. And I think that for me is the best thing about it, is the freedom to be an individual, probably, in a sentence.
Yeah. What's the hardest part?
Oh God, the freedom to be an individual.
Basically.
That's the hardest bit as well. Because the hardest part is no time to yourself. I've just started to get time because I now have teenagers. Although I will say that toddlers and teenagers have so many similarities, it's uncanny. I just started to, there was a window in the middle where I got to go to the bathroom by myself, and now that stopped because now teenagers will stand outside and shout at you that they want to be going here, there, or anywhere. And it's almost like the selfishness of a toddler seems to present itself again in the teenage years. But having said that, now I can see that, they've all got their own interests, and it's not so much that I'm having to be there to help them. It's more that I have to drive them to places that they want to go, because
Yeah.
they all have the myth of that home ed kids don't have social lives is a lie. We live in the middle of nowhere, and we could be out to every day, at least to two events every day, because there's more and more people becoming home educating families, so there's more and more events laid on. There's more and more regular groups. So for me, it's the lack of time to do my own thing. I've accepted that my garden is going to have loads of weeds, because I don't have that window of time when my children are at school to go out and keep everything nice. So that's the bit I find is the balancing act of meeting their needs and my own personal needs.
Well, yes, I can imagine also, like when you're very rural, there isn't just a bus stop at the end of the street where you can, make your way, you're 15, you can make your way there kind of thing.
Yeah, we do kind of what how it seems to have worked, especially for like my 15 and 16-year-old, they are very close. They have the same friend circle,
Yeah.
and see their friend lives one of their best friends lives about an hour away, and it's okay for a day, but it is, I mean, when I say an hour, it's windy roads, and it, if you get stuck behind a tractor, it could be an hour and a half. It could sometimes even be two.
Yeah.
So we tend to do block visits with that friend, because they also have another friend. So one of the mums, she's fantastic, and she's actually, I mean, they always want to go there because she's a trained chef and she feeds them like they're in a hotel. So they go there for like maybe 3 days, and they'll plan, they'll have an itinerary between them, they'll chat, they have a group chat, they'll organize, okay, I'm going to bring this, you'll do that, and then they'll organize, and so they'll have like a big block of social time that's just hanging out and enjoying being with their friends. And then we have regular group meetups. There is more travel. Being rural, there's definitely more travel. So,
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the next question obviously is like, how do you make that better? Well, as you say, part of that is grouping stuff together and,
yes.
getting stuff in chunks rather than trying to go back and forth
Yeah.
every day or every couple of days or whatever.
We try and have a timetable. So we always kind of, and it's just a natural flow, almost like a rhythm, that Mondays are always, we seem to be at home and we catch up, because the weekends we tend to have either family come up or friends or there's things on. So Mondays are a home day where we try and catch up with them we need to do at home. And then on the Tuesday, we visit local friends, or we live very close. We're very lucky, we're 20 minutes from the coast. So we can hop in the car and get down to the beach, and we'll maybe go down to the beach if it's nice, or there's an aquarium close by. So that's like a, we call it like a field trip day. Wednesdays they have an art class, which is about half an hour drive, and Thursdays we are at home until they go to a jiu-jitsu class, which is on later on in the evening, but that again is quite close. And then Fridays I go to town, and we have, there are guitar lessons, they have a nature study group, we do all our shopping, and it's like the day of everything. So I think we just have to be a bit more, and it's kind of contradictory. There's me saying we have freedom, but we also have to be a bit more organized in that, okay, so we'll wait till the Friday to get something. We'll try and be more organized, like with animal feeds. I know that I've got to go to the animal feed store on a Friday, and I will bulk up and make sure I've got everything. I've got a really big boot in my car, luckily, so I can
Yeah.
get loads of feed sacks in there. And I find having the internet is great, because although they may not see their friends every day, they will chat, they have group chats, and they will get together via actually Skype is quite popular just now, and they'll all get together on Skype, so that's quite nice. So they do still chat, and they have friends. We live, we had friends. My daughter's very close to a friend who's actually from Texas and has moved back there, but they still manage to keep in touch. And I think the internet has made rural home education much easier. So I think that, yeah, I think that has helped enormously. I can't imagine. I actually spoke to a friend who home educated before there was any, before email, and I asked her, how did you find other home educators? And she said, you were just really brave at parks. and you would go up to someone and ask them if their kid was home educated, and they had a phone tree for events. So you'd be added to the phone tree, and that's how they organized home ed events before there was the miracle of the internet. So
yeah, that came up actually in what will be last fortnight's episode. I was talking about when we first started home educating, I became a member of Education Otherwise.
Yep.
Because they had a card and you could be like, look, I'm a home educator. You can let me into home education things. And they still have, I don't know if they still have, but like three or four years ago, they still had their national phone tree of here's the person for each county that you call. And they'll, wow. You know, and I think that's just how they did it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's much easier now. And, you know, I'm sure that's one of the reasons that as a group, I mean, our home ed group up here, the local group, I think it has at least 300 plus family members, which is huge for a rural area. I mean, it spreads far. It's a pretty big geographical location, but because you can join a forum and you can, you know, you can meet other people that way, it makes life a lot easier. I can't imagine how. I think it would be very hard, and we maybe wouldn't have moved here without having that as a backup of ways to meet people, because I can't imagine how we would have found so many things to do or clubs or groups without having. I find social media is a double-edged thing, as most things are. It's great and I love it for the things it's brought into our lives, but I also don't like it as well, which is, I think most parents, whether your kids are home ed or schooled, probably feel the same.
Yeah. So do you think there's, having lived in a town and lived in a rural area, are there specific things that are kind of unique to living in a rural area that might encourage home education rather than just going to, I don't know, whatever, the local school or the nearest school or whatever?
I think when we lived in Wales, I noticed there was a lot of home educators. I mean, we lived on the outskirts of a very small village, and in that village there was four home ed families just in this tiny village, which the school, to give you an idea, had 25 kids in, and yeah, four families didn't choose to go to the school. And one of the reasons, we knew we weren't going to be there long, because we were there for my husband's work.
Yeah.
And where we lived, the schools were Welsh speaking. So I knew my children, if they did go into school, would have to spend, I think it was at that time, 3 to 6 months going to learn the language. Not actually even in the school, they would be going to language lessons. And because we knew we weren't going to be there long, I thought, well, that's not, we're only going to be there a year. So half of their time would have been spent ferrying them to and the college to learn the language. And I think there was a few families that were maybe also in transition, or they didn't want to put their kids to the school because the high school was an hour and a half trip there and an hour and a half trip back. And that's very similar to up. Your children can spend anything from maybe an hour to 3+ hours just commuting to school.
Yes.
So there's a lot of parents who think, you know, and in winters up here, we have a lot of snow in the winter, and the roads are not, the main roads are always cleared, but the back roads are not so much a priority. And I think there's a lot of parents who think, you know what, like all that time that they could just not be on a bus, it's not great. So, and they've closed a lot of the small schools in this area. And I know of two families who, the reason they became home educating families was because their local school closed and they didn't want to do a massive long commute to the nearest school.
Yeah.
So I think that for rural areas, especially where we are here, that's quite a big factor, is people don't want to have to worry about getting their children to school. So they do have school buses, and you know, that's one of the things I will say, is the schools do put on buses, but you're still having, there's a lot of stops. You know, if you're on a bus and there's 30 children on the bus, all 30 children need to be dropped off, and the geographical, it's such a big spread that it can take a long time to get home.
Yeah. And I guess also, if you're living in a remote place, chances are you're not doing a massive commute into the city to go to your job. So am I right in saying that maybe people have jobs that can be more flexible?
Yes, I would say a lot of the home ed families we know, they either work very close to where they live, or they work from home. more and more families work from home. My husband, he's self-employed. He's an engineer, so he sometimes has to travel. But when he's not traveling, he can quite happily work from home. He just needs an internet connection so he can do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of families up here that are similar. If they don't work from home, they tend to live where they work. So they'll have maybe their own business, or the company they work for will be within, 20 minutes or so. Or the other extreme is, obviously, we live quite near-ish to Aberdeen. So there are some families who have parents who work in the oil industry. So then they'll be away for a period of weeks, but then home for a long period of time. And that works really well with home ed, because obviously if you're away for a month, it's hard to be away from your family for a month. But then when you're back, your children aren't going to school for that period of time. So you kind of have the extra time with them being at home. So I think there's quite a few families who work in the oil industry who've chosen to home educate as well.
Yeah, I can see that, because you can actually fit your schedule around the parents' schedule to a certain degree, and you can at least have some of that time. You can pick the time that's convenient in their time off to be like, and this can be family time, and we'll all be here, and we'll take our half term or whatever it would be. That makes sense.
That's quite a common thing. I think there's quite a few families who do that, who if their parents work away, they make up for it by when they are here, by either doing their holidays in that period of time, or making sure that any trips or anything they want to do or places they want to visit, they do that when they actually are all there. So yeah, it does work quite well in that way.
Yeah, it's taking advantage of the situation, isn't it, really?
We have quite a diverse range. Everyone assumes that living rurally, the people who live here must be people who are from this area, but because of the oil industry, and there's also a military base not far, we actually have people from all over the world. So it's pretty diverse. And again, a lot of families know they're not going to be here for more than 2, maybe 3 years. And so they choose to home educate because it fits in with their lifestyle, because they may be moving again shortly. Or there's a lot of people who work in the oil industry who come from other countries who they're only going to be here even for a year. Which has been pretty tough, because my kids have made some really good friends who now live on almost the other side of the world. And they do keep in touch, and we have they have managed to come over and visit us, and we've seen them. But it's in some ways the same. It's great because they get to know people from all over the world, but it's also really sad when they leave. We really miss some of them. So
that's really hard.
It is, actually. I don't know. I know a lot of people think social skills are something that homemade kids don't get the opportunity. But I've noticed with my own kids, when they meet people, they seem to be able to form bonds fairly quickly with them, because they're not just seeing them at school where they also have to work. The time they spend is time just with those people, getting to know them. That the whole point of it is to be social, not to be doing learning times tables or filling in workbooks. That the time they spend with them is time just getting to know them. So they do form friendships, I think, and they are quite meaningful friendships. And then it's really hard when they know that it's for a limited time. But yeah. I guess that's a life skill as well. I think we worked out that my daughter, she's 18, she could go traveling for a year and stay with various friends that we've had, and almost the entire globe. So it's quite handy. I think she needs to make a friend in maybe 2 countries, and then she could probably hop around pretty easy. So
I think also there's my experience with home ed kids is, because they don't have that same group of 30 kids that they're with day in, day out, there doesn't seem to be the same level of like peer pressure. So kids, the homemade kids I know, are very much themselves, and and they're not trying to fit themselves into the mold of what they think, I don't know, a 10-year-old should be, or whatever.
Yes.
Do you know what a cool kid should be? They're like, I like this stuff. You don't have to like it. It's fine. But I like this stuff. Do you like that? Cool. Let's go and be friends and play with this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've noticed because it's been interesting. Not sounds like an experiment, it sounds terrible, but my 10, well, he's now 11 year old, he has never gone to school, and he has been the same person from, so toddlers tend to be like, I like Thomas the Tank Engine, and they'll find another child that likes that, yeah. And that's what their friendship will be based on. And he is still very much like that. The things he's interested in, the passions he has, he's made friends with other home ed kids who share similar passions or have the same sense of humor, so they have a connection straight away. Whereas I think my daughter, who did go to school, she that gets taken away from you. You're not allowed to, you have to, you know, you're in a room with 30 other kids. There's no way you're going to be able to get through them and find that one person that has the same interest. You know, it takes a long time to do that. Whereas when you're in a smaller setting, you can kind of hone in on the person that you can see, that person's, they've brought to this meeting something that I've got or something that I'm interested in. So you can connect much faster.
Yeah.
I mean, my 16-year-old, he currently is mad keen on model painting, and he has a group of friends who are also keen on model painting.
Yeah.
So they spend a lot of time discussing paints and paint techniques and various things, and it's great to see him doing that. I don't know if he was at school, because that is not cool. You know, that he would ever have even gone down that avenue, because he'd have just thought, that's, you know, I don't want to be seen as uncool. So for me, that's what I think is important, is that they find friends and they find people that share their interests. And even if they're a little bit geeky, it's fine, because they're all geeks together, and it's lovely to see.
Yeah, I don't think there isn't a pecking order. And my impression is that the kids who come out of school later, that's something they have to learn.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I've seen that, where kids have come straight out of school into home education, and, you know, they have to unschool. And part of that is realizing there isn't a pecking order, and that the home ed kids, particularly the ones who've never been to school, don't really understand what a pecking order is. Like, you know, if there's a sport or something that's skill based, they know, yeah. You know, they know probably who's best in the class. But they don't think the person who's worst in the class is rubbish. They just think, well, everybody's doing their thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. One of my favourite things is seeing, going to somewhere like, we have a science centre, and watching the faces on the staff when they tell the home ed kids to line up, and they don't know how to do it. And they look around each other like, what does that mean? I can't remember where we were somewhere, and the leader of the group said, right, line up 2 by 2, and these kids were just like, what does that mean, 2 by 2, how do we do this? And it was really amusing to see. And one of the other home ed mums said they actually don't line up on a regular basis. You're going to have to show them, because they just stood there in a big clump. Some of them were in fours, some of them were chatting to someone else, and so I think that's a really good example of how home ed kids, they clump, they don't necessarily follow what the mainstream thing of like lining up and things. I think you can always tell a home ed group. We went to Culloden to the battlefield, and there was a school group ahead of us, and you can see these kids walking down the path at the perfectly 2 by 2, holding hands with their high vis things on. And then the home ed group, was there was at least 3 of them rolling in the mud pretending that they'd been murdered by the Jacobites, and someone else was waving a flag. And I thought, yeah, we stand out in this class sort of atmosphere, but it's fine. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. So,
well, you don't need to stand in line for stuff.
No,
or the standing line you do is, you know, I don't know, at the post office with your mum, or waiting to pay for some shopping or something. You don't do it in a big organised, here's your partner and you're all going to walk along, and we're, you know, it doesn't, there's no need, there's nothing that comes up that means you have to do that. So yes, it's not a skill they ever have to learn.
No, although, you know, they might get in trouble for queue jumping in the supermarket at some point if they don't learn it. So, but, you know, that's a practical thing. Normally you're not, there's not 30 of you all being told to line up by someone, so they'll be okay.
It's not the same thing. I think it's fine. Okay, well, you kind of went over the kind of rhythm of your week. Is there a typical day in the life?
Oh, do you know that? No.
There isn't, for anybody. I haven't really found anybody who's had one.
We make the plans, and we are invested in the plans. And then an animal will get sick.
I was going to say, you have sheep. There is no plan.
Yes, no. And sheep, I have a farmer friend who breeds cattle, and he asked me why I had sheep, because sheep spend their entire lives planning how to die.
Yes, that's
basically.
Everything I've heard about sheep, basically.
Well, mine are, they're very pampered, and they're kept for their fleece, because we do a lot of fibre work. But they do seem to have the perfect timing. They always seem to know when you're planning to go somewhere, because that's when one of them will decide to be really sad and just fall over, and then you're rushing around trying to make them better. So, yeah. But a typical day is we mostly let the children follow. We are very much an unschool family. We didn't start out that way. As I said, we started out very worksheets and workbooks. We still have them. It's interesting to see, my 11-year-old recently said, I need to get better at handwriting, because he wanted to do something and realized that actually he needed to have better handwriting than what he's done. So we bought him a workbook, and he's, when he gets time or when he wants to, when he's feeling motivated, he's filling in and practicing his joined up handwriting. But that's him doing that now off his own back. And I'd say on a typical day, our mornings are spent doing quieter, well, they'll maybe do their reading, or they'll do workbooks if they have them, or an art project. And then we try and go out and do outside things in the afternoon. But the Scottish weather is very unreliable, and we may flip that around if we're forecast a horrible storm in the afternoon. That's kind of how we roll, really. I feel like our entire lives, because we live off grid, so we rely on either the sun or the wind for our power. So the weather is quite a big factor in our lives. We all check the weather, except my husband, who relies on everyone else to check the weather for him, because he's too busy. So
he
will
the
ask
family,
one of us.
The family weather forecast, basically.
Yeah, he'll just come in the door and say, what's the weather going to be tomorrow? And someone will know. So
it's just part of life, isn't it, up there? I mean,
it is. And I think living how we live has really changed our home ed approach as well. We do a lot of citizen science, the OPAL. I don't know if you know the OPAL science yet. We've done those here. We've recently signed up to do a soil investigation. So we're going to take that on over the summer. And you know, their interests are led by living here. My older two boys are really into blacksmithing, and have a lovely friend who is a blacksmith, who's encouraged them and helping them set up their home forge. And my younger son,
wow,
yeah, well, that's, you say, wow. Well, for them, for me, I can't help but envisage all the A&E trips for burns. And so I'm trying to be like, this is amazing, which is my parenting life, really. In one hand, it's like, thumbs up, you're doing great. And the other bit, thinking, please don't hurt yourself. Please don't hurt yourself. So, they're busy doing that. But we're lucky we have the space for them to do it. And they have an amazing mentor, again, who, if they were in school, they wouldn't have found. So, because he's quite a busy person, so we slot into his life, and he's brilliant. He's really encouraged my boys. They spent the winter making longbows with him, and axes and axe handles, and now they're setting up at home to do this. And my 11-year-old, he's really into insects and spends a lot of time going out and finding various insects, and he has an almost encyclopedic knowledge of crabs you can find in British waters.
Oh, wow.
That's his passion. We're lucky to have an aquarium that's fairly local, about 20 minutes from us, and it's a native aquarium. They actually do a lot of the things they have in there are things that have got caught in fishing nets that have been brought in, and they're rehab, and then they release them. And he's mad keen on going there, because he's the only child I've ever known who, when they do the handling sessions, is really excited to be holding the crabs, and all the other kids are like, "Ooh, it's gonna hurt me," and he's just like, "Look how adorable this crab is." So I think living near the coast and living rurally has shaped their interests and hobbies quite a lot, really.
Yeah, totally. We kind of touched on what's going on for home educators in the area. A lot more than people would imagine, I think, is what the conclusion we've come to, really.
Yes, there is an awful lot. There are art classes, there are drama classes, there are martial art classes, There is surfing, there is bushcraft. Honestly, there's language classes starting in a couple of weeks. I think wherever we've lived with home ed, the parents always bring their skill set to the home ed community, and we're really lucky that wherever we've been, we've had amazing groups of friends and really great parents who, don't mind sharing their skills with the home ed kids. And it's the same up here. We are really lucky. One of our friends, she's friends with my children and her parents. One of them, she makes stained glass, and her husband's a retired engineer who's going to be doing, I mean, he's very brave. He's going to be doing a rocket making workshop with the kids.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
I don't know if I would be that brave, and I think that might be one for their dad to take them to. So, but
Yes.
yeah, and it's maybe not advertised. So if you're not in the home ed community, you're not going to see these things going on. You're just going to see these kids popping up at all these locations doing these things. So it's a busy community up here. There's a lot of parents who really want to get their kids to try out whatever it is they want to do, and they want them to do it in group settings. So we're really lucky.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You get a group of home ed parents together, and someone has an idea, and they say, "Well, look, if I do this, will you come along? Do you want to be part of this?" And some things don't last for very long, or they're only there to be a short thing, and some last for years. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely up here. We've even, there's different groups for different geographical locations, but they all come under one umbrella. So if someone wants to do something, they'll put it on the various groups to get the numbers up. And I don't think I've ever seen an event not happen because of numbers, actually. I think more or
That's
less
good.
we do get the numbers. Well, I think people accept living up here that you're going to have to commit to maybe a bit more driving than you would in a city or a town, but the payoff is worth it. So most parents around here do really put in the effort for the driving about.
Yeah. So do you have any resource recommendations?
Do I have any resource? Gosh, yes, loads really. We have a lot of books, and I think probably some of the books that we've used a lot that I would recommend to get people out and about. I don't know if you've heard of Karen Benke, Benke. She has a book called Rip the Page: Adventures in Creative Writing.
Yes.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's really good. And I have boys who are not very interested in creative writing, but they will take on some of the things in that book and really go with them. We've had some amazing stories written from that.
Oh,
And
fantastic.
the other There's another book called How to Be an Explorer of the World by a lady called Kerry Smith, and it's fabulous. It's basically you're creating your own mini museum in a book, and it's a museum about yourself, and it's fantastic. My kids have those, and I really enjoyed working with them. Actually, it reminds me, I really should get one for my 11-year-old now because he's probably old enough to use it. So that's one of our go-to books. And we also have really enjoyed doing, I'm just trying to find it actually. I'm looking on the shelf so I get the author's name right. Where is it? Project-based homeschooling by Laurie Pickett. I don't know if you've.
Yes. Yes, I
Yes,
love
she's
that
one
book.
of my favorites. And it was her book that made me think, oh, okay, we could do this different. And I still go back to her quite a lot, because when I have a wobble, which I think you always have wobbles when you home educate, she's been one of our go-tos. And I actually did, I don't know if she's doing them anymore. She did project-based homeschooling for parents.
Yes.
And
Like the
I
course, was
did
that the course?
yes, I did her first, I took part in her first course, and it was really good. I'm hoping, I don't know if she still does them, but I really, really enjoyed it, and I'd recommend it if you can, if she does them again.
I'm not sure
It's
if she still does. I will look it up and I will stick it in the show notes. I did probably like the third or the fourth round. I mean, in like 2015 or something like that, I did that.
Yeah, no, I
2014,
think
2015, something like that. It's a really good course. Like her stuff is
yes.
fantastic. Her
Yeah, I really enjoyed.
newsletter was really good as well. I have all of those kept.
Yeah.
In fact, project-based homeschooling is on my to read again list this summer, to be honest.
Yeah. I think it's a book that any, I think every home ed parent, it should be like a, when you deregister or when you make the decision, it should be something that just like magically arrives in the post for you to read. I think that her whole attitude to learning is fantastic, and I think it works for who I think it's, you can adapt it to work regardless of where you're coming from in your home ed, whether you're an unschooler or you want to have school at home or whatever your plans are for education. I think she really, you can take something from her book,
yeah, totally,
and apply it.
She makes you feel brave, I think, and she,
yes,
makes you,
yeah,
look at what your children are doing and actually see what they're achieving, even in their play and stuff, like where they're actually figuring stuff out, or they're, you know, like how they're learning essentially, rather than just,
yeah,
going, well, no, if it's not on a worksheet, then it, you know, or it's not, they haven't read this book, then it's not, they're not doing anything. And she just tears that apart and is like, no, just watch them, because they're doing loads of stuff, and you can,
yeah,
just help them with that, and they would get gargantuan amounts out of it, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think it's also, I mean, my children have all had very different learning experiences. My daughter, we did for quite a while. She likes to have something that makes her feel like she can look back and say, I learned that and this is the end result. So for her, having almost like it was beautiful. She did like main lesson books in a Steiner.
Yes.
It worked for her and she really enjoyed it, and she would produce work that I still have them because I was in awe of how much effort she put into them.
Yeah.
But that did not work for 16-year-old. He would absolutely hate it. And he's much more, he would like to learn it by doing something, and then he'll process it by talking to you or by producing something. He does art classes. I would have told you 2 years ago that he was terrible at art and he hated it, and he was still drawing stick people and that was as far as it went. And
yeah,
now he's doing these art classes and the teacher is amazing, and she's brought out this side to him that we never knew was there. But obviously all these visits to these art galleries and buying all these very lovely art materials that were half the time gathering dust that he wasn't interested in, all of a sudden they're all getting used and he's producing work that we never anticipated he would ever,
yeah,
be interested in producing. So I think I think time is important, giving them the time to come to something when they're ready. He loved the there was a series of books called Make a World, and I can't remember who did those books, but they are fantastic because they show you how to draw everything step by step. Basically, if you can draw a triangle, a square, and a circle, then you can draw anything, and it shows you how to use those things to draw anything. And that was his limit. That was his limit, and he was quite happy with doing that.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's producing, you know, these beautiful charcoal portraits, and we never saw that coming. So they can definitely surprise you.
Yeah, totally. Well, because they've got the time to try things or just mature into a thing where at that point in their life they're like, actually, no, this is important to me and I'd like to,
yeah,
do whatever, you know, whatever,
well,
that particular thing is.
Yeah. I think for him, there was no pressure and no expectation that he would ever want to do art. He just went along to the class because his younger brothers were going along.
Yeah.
And he thought, well, I don't do anything else on a Wednesday morning, I'll go along. And we never expected him to get so into it, because he was always very much, he had a very engineering, mathematical brain, and he would tell anyone, oh, I don't like drawing, I'm not into drawing, because that, in his head, drawing, that was it, that was,
yeah,
the only thing he could do. And now he's, you know, he's doing all these other things and trying out all these other mediums, and I'm just sitting down and shutting up and keeping out the way. Which,
yep,
is probably a really good bit of advice for anyone who's in the early stages of home ed, is just to do that, just to sit down and be quiet and let them do it, because they don't actually need as much from the parents. They just need the support, I think, not someone,
yep,
there every minute of the day. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Do you have any book recs for like read alouds?
Oh, I loved, my children, I love Skellig. I don't know if that's maybe an older child's book, because it's a bit dark.
Oh,
and
that's,
the same Dave Almond, I think,
yes,
his name is.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it, and my kids loved it, and yeah, they they, even now, it's one of those ones we've listened to a couple of times in the car on journeys, and it's, no one talks through it. Everyone's very quiet and listens to it. And The Walls of Willoughby Chase, who I don't remember who wrote that. That's a fantastic one. Very atmospheric, very winter story to read. I think that that's an audio book as well that I would recommend. And I'm trying to think what else we've listened to recently. We are a podcast family because we are in the car a lot.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Lots of podcasts. And I love Ologies. I can't recommend that one enough. That's, again, for maybe slightly older children, but it's fantastic. And the woman who writes the Ologies podcast, I just think she's really funny. She's very amusing. And she's definitely engaged my teenagers to think about the various Ologies that are out there. So I'd recommend that.
What would you want someone who doesn't home educate to know about home education?
That it's not as weird as it sounds, and it's not as out there, that actually it's just living. It's just being with your family, and that home is not a very good word. I've always tried to find a way to say we don't go to school, because home education, everyone thinks that's sitting around the kitchen table, and that's not what it is. So I think for me, I'd like people to know that We're weird. We are a bit weird. That, you know, all home ed people obviously have come to it for different reasons, but that actually it's not home. It's not at home. It's everywhere else but home, it feels like, most of the time. I think it's important. Yeah, that for me is the thing I would say to people, is it's education out with of a school building, not what everyone else thinks it is, which is sitting around a table. I had a lady in a supermarket tell my child that him helping me pack the bag must have been his socialization for the day, and he's 10 at that time, and he just looked at him and went, actually, I'm just about to go to a group meeting with 30 other kids to study insects, but okay. So yeah, that's the thing that I struggle with, is that I think that as time goes on and more people are becoming aware of it, that will change that idea of like it's just people who are hiding away. I think home ed kids are some of the most visible kids out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been fantastic.
You're really welcome. It's been lovely to talk to you. I've really enjoyed it.
Excellent. And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes at the blog at homeedvoices.co.uk, or follow the link on Instagram at homeedvoicespodcast, or Twitter at homeedvoices. This is episode 50. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcast, or share our episode posts on social media, as this helps more people to find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrot. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with episode 16 in 2 weeks. And until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.